Chapter 11 is on fallacies. Actually, we've been talking about fallacies for a couple of chapters now, because a fallacy is any kind of bad reasoning. So last time we talked about fallacies of relevance. We talked earlier about other kinds of fallacies of relevance. These were fallacies of relevance where what was irrelevant was some kind of emotional response. Two kinds of fallacies, particularly formal fallacies and informal fallacies. A formal fallacy is really basically an invalid argument. The problem is with the argument's form. This is an invalid argument form. And a few lectures back, we talked about two particular kinds of formal fallacies, assuming the consequent, denying the antecedent. Informal fallacies are a little bit trickier. An informal fallacy is a problem in reasoning that you can't see just by looking at the argument form. Here are some examples of informal fallacies. First is begging the question. You beg the question when the premises assume the conclusion. Common types of question begging arguments are first circular arguments, second arguments that rephrase the conclusion as a premise, and third arguments that generalize the conclusion as a premise. Circular argument. A circular argument is one where the premise is used to support the conclusion, as in any good argument. Premise is used to support the conclusion, and the conclusion is also required as support for the premise. So what makes it beg the question is that you can't believe the premise unless you already believe the conclusion. Maybe you can see it in this example here. God exists because the Bible says so, and the Bible is the inspired word of God. Well, our conclusion is that God exists. The premise is the Bible says that God exists. Well, what reason do I have for believing that the Bible is true? The person giving this argument can't come back and respond, well, of course the Bible is true because God wrote it. Because that just assumes, again, that the conclusion, God exists, is true. Another example, interviewer says, your resume looks really good, but I need one more reference. And then Bill says, call Jill at 878-5218. Interviewer replies, well, that's great, but how do I know that Jill's reliable? And Bill says, I can vouch for her. Well, why does the interviewer need the reference? Essentially, the interviewer needs the reference to determine whether Bill's reliable. The interviewer, in this case, can't trust the reference unless they already trust Bill. If they already trust Bill, then they don't need the further reference. Okay, notice that those arguments, essentially the classic circular argument, the classic question begging argument, will be one that has A is true because A is true. So, or as my mom used to say, this is the case because I said it was, essentially. Well, is that a valid argument? If A, therefore A, of course it's valid. It's impossible for the premises to be true and the conclusion false because they are just the same thing. Okay, a more subtle kind of question-begging argument is one that rephrases the conclusion in one of the premises. So the conclusion is just one of the premises restated in different words. First example, it's impossible to make an A because it's impossible to score at least a 90. Well, making an A and scoring at least a 90 are just the same thing. Or second example, if these actions were not illegal, they wouldn't be prohibited by the law. Again, that just means the same thing. To be illegal is to be prohibited by the law. In a case of begging the question by generalizing the conclusion is a narrower instance of some broader claim made in the premises. For example, spanking children is wrong because corporal punishment is wrong. Well, the premise here is that corporal punishment is wrong. The conclusion, therefore, spanking children is wrong. If the premise is true, the conclusion is going to be true, right? But the person who doesn't believe the conclusion already, it is not going to believe the premise. So it begs the question. In order for you to believe the conclusion, yeah, you already, or pardon me, in order for you to believe the premises, you already have to believe the conclusion. Okay, here's an example from the Supreme Court. Our former Chief Justice Rehnquist back in 1990 said, if the question is Nancy Cruz incapable of making her own decision regarding the continuation or termination of life support, then to say that Nancy Cruz is incompetent without further argument, evidence, reasons, etc., is to assume the question at hand. Incompetent is, in this context, simply a synonym for incapable of making an informed decision. So it's that second kind of question-begging argument, one that just rephrases the conclusion. Okay, after question-begging arguments, we have false dilemmas. The book calls this the either-or fallacy. Now, a disjunction is an either-or sentence. Disjunctions are true when at least one of the disjuncts is true. So, if the disjunction would be either I go to the movies this weekend or I go out to dinner. Okay, that's true if at least one of those is true. And in logic, we generally use inclusive disjunctions. That means that the disjunction is true when one of the disjuncts or both are true. Now, a false dilemma asserts that one of these two things must be true when really there could be a third thing that's true. Examples. Either buy our financial guide or never have control of your finances. Or a classic case, the child says to the parent, either let me go to that party or I'll just die. Well, it's probably a false disjunction, right? Mom would say, no, you're not going to that party, and no, you're not going to die. Lots of false dilemmas on bumper stickers. It's my way or the highway, love it or leave it, so on. So think about this example. My opponent voted against the public school spending bill. He must think educating our children is not important. It doesn't look like this is a disjunction. There's no or there, but there's an implied or. The claim is, the implication is that you either vote for the bill or you believe that education is not important. Well, again, that's a false dilemma because there are plenty of reasons to vote against a bill. It may be the case that somebody's attached too many riders on this bill that are just unreasonable, so the person votes against the bill, even though the fundamental reason for the bill, they were in favor of that. They just thought that this particular bill was a bad bill. Either buy our insurance or risk ruin. Okay, that's a disjunction. It's equivalent to a conditional, though. If you don't buy the insurance, you risk ruin. In this case, you can have a fallacy of a false dilemma, a false disjunction, when you don't have a disjunction in the argument. You can have a conditional that's equivalent, logically equivalent. In general, the disjunction either P or Q is equivalent to, if not P, then Q. So one of the disjunctions is negated, and then a conditional where the negation is the antecedent and the other disjunct is the consequent of the conditional. Okay, to not be prone to false disjunctions, you need to ask a few things. First thing, obviously, to ask is there a third alternative? So they have said that either this is true, either X is true or Y is true. Is there a Z that could also be true? A second is don't think in extremes. Avoid being simplistic. False disjunctions are often made in the context of either this is true or some wildly extreme position must be the case. So maybe there's a moderate position that could also be true. And that means that you need to really be careful of look out closely for a false disjunctions when one of the disjuncts is some crazy extreme view. Okay, let's look at a few arguments with disjunctions. One is the disjunctive syllogism. Either A or B, not A, therefore B. Either I go go to dinner or I go to the movies. I'm not going to dinner, therefore I will go to the movies. Well, that's a valid argument for. If the premises are true, the conclusion has to be true. Another is a constructive dilemma. If A, then C. If B, then C. Either A or B, therefore C. If I go to dinner tonight, I'll be broke tomorrow. If I go to the movies tonight, I'll be broke tomorrow. Either I'm going to dinner tonight or to the movies tonight, therefore I will be broke tomorrow. Another valid argument for. Line drawing fallacy. The line drawing fallacy is a fallacy that has something to do with vague terms. A term is vague if there are no precise conditions that determine whether or not that term will apply. For instance, something like bald. There are people in the world that are definitely bald, no hair on their head whatsoever. Plenty of people in the world who are definitely not bald, plenty of hair on their head. But there's some people sort of in the middle, you know, that pretty thin comb-over sort of thing. And in some of those cases, it's hard to tell. We can't precisely determine whether this person is bald or not. So there are a lot of vague terms in the language: bald, rich, dark, big, so on. Okay, the line drawing fallacy argues that since there's no clear distinction that we can make between A and B, there's no real difference between A and B. For example, you can't prove to me exactly how little wealth you must have before you're poor, so there are no poor people. You get this fallacy in a lot of anti-abortion arguments, actually. So we can't draw a line at which a fetus becomes a human person, therefore there is no difference between a fetus and a human person. So there may be very, very good arguments against the moral permissibility of abortion, but that one commits a line-drawing fallacy. Okay, the last thing in this chapter was on the inconsistency. The only thing you really need to know here is that a set of statements is inconsistent when at least one of them must be false. So, for instance, two contradictory claims are inconsistent. Okay, I went to the movies last night. I did not go to the movies last night. That's inconsistent. Now, if I tell you both of those, you don't know which one of those is true, but you do know that they can't both be true. At least one of them is false. So if someone makes a set of claims and you know that they're inconsistent, you know that something is false. You just don't necessarily know which one. And that concludes this lecture.